Continuing with Emmanuel, the United States emerged from what we refer to as the Second World War, endowed with incredible economic strength. Its economic capacity and competitiveness had already been very strong before the war began. The war enlarged this strength in two ways. On the one hand, all the other industrial powers in the world system, from Great Britain across Europe to the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR, to Japan, suffered grievous damage to their material plant. In addition, because of wartime destruction of their agricultural production, most of them were also suffering from serious food shortages in the immediate post-war period. In great contrast, on the other hand, the United States, sheltered as it had been from physical damage, was able to develop still further its industrial and agricultural base throughout the war. Not only the defeated Axis powers, but even the wartime allies of the United States sought immediate relief and reconstruction aid from the United States. We can measure the degree of initial advantage in a very simple way. In any major sector of production, in the first 10 to 15 years after 1945, the United States was able to sell products in all the other industrialized countries at lower levels of cost, including transport, than the local producers. The one sphere in which the United States did not have an excessive advantage was the military sphere. As a result, if the United States were going to play the role of hegemonic power, it would have to come to some kind of terms with the Soviet Union and neutralize its military strength. And you'll recall, and we'll be rereading that section and when we get to it in time, but the Soviet Union was already in on the research of Nikola Tesla. Recall that Vladimir Lenin invited Nikola to come to Russia, but Nikola could not get away from his work at that time. He was being kept really busy. As a result, if the United States was going to play the role of hegemonic power, it would have to come to some kind of terms with the Soviet Union and neutralize its military strength. This was particularly true since internal political pressure in the United States led to a relatively rapid demobilization of its land forces worldwide. It is my contention that what ensued was a tacit deal between the United States and the Soviet Union, to which we have given the metaphorical name of Yalta. It seems to me that this deal had three components. The first was a de facto division of the globe into two spheres of influence, more or less along the lines of the location of the armed forces of each of the two countries at the end of the war. There was a Soviet bloc, which would come to be defined as running from the Oder-Neisse line in Central Europe to the 38th parallel in Korea and including mainland China, after the definitive defeat of the Kuomintang by the Chinese Communist Party forces in 1949. What the United States and the Soviet Union, in effect, agreed to observe was the primary, virtually exclusive, right of each to decide matters within its sphere. A crucial element of this de facto agreement was there would be no attempt to change these boundaries by military or even political means. After 1949, this accord was reinforced by the concept of mutually assured destruction based on the fact that both sides had sufficient nuclear strength to respond to any attack and destroy the other. And that's unquote from Emmanuel Wallerstein's first chapter in Does Capitalism Have a Future? And I'm commenting here, what we are arguing in this space is that the development of nuclear weapons was to primarily serve a profoundly propagandistic purpose, which is also obviously political. to guarantee a permanent state of fear in we the people globally. And that what really reinforced the accord was the secret of the theft and use of Nikola Tesla's invention, the EMF weapon. Once they'd ironed out their little difficulties, as evidenced by the Russian blasting of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow in 1960 with electromagnetic force waves, and please visit or check out our August 14, 2016 show, which has this quote from Lorraine Murray's document. And please listen again to the relevant audio file from that show. Kissinger testifies on EMF, and that which is from the August 14, 2016 show, which includes this reference.